here it is. It is what it is. And this is the Wisco Weekly Podcast. Every time I hear this song now, it just reminds me of vicariously wanting to live through Bruno Mars. This is very Bruno-esque here. Anyhow, listeners, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Wisco Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Wisco, and I am Kelly-less for this episode, but she will be back next week. A few things to get to here first. First, I have a very high-quality list of people that I respect and look up to in the industry, and so either by default of their title or if it's a particular subject matter that one of my contacts is well-versed in, I want to be able to connect you guys better because I think there would be a lot of value in having people connecting with my list of people that I've gotten to know over the last few years now, actually probably longer than that, maybe decade now. So stay tuned for that. If you wanted to be added onto this list, go to our website, wiscoweeklypod.com, and just send us your information and we'll get in touch with you and we can keep you posted of when this all becomes official. A lot of things going on in the automotive business. One of the things in particular that is of interest to me that eventually we'll get to on this podcast is the Supreme Court ruling of the service advisors not getting paid overtime from dealerships. This particular subject matter when it comes to staff and operational staff and pay plan of staff is of great interest to me. So I have a couple guests that I'll be introducing to you. Max from Max Digital, Patrick McMullen, and then also Jeff Wall from Jeff Wall and Associates. So stay tuned for that.
You betcha.
And now on to the show. So my guest for this episode has a program that is mirroring a world-famous franchise. Certainly this became a thought-provoking episode for me. So I hope you enjoy. Here it is. Cheers, pros, lahaim, kipish, salud, nastravi to the customer experience. So you booked your airline ticket 3 months in advance for a trip to Los Angeles. You booked your hotel accommodations, and public transportation is not a practical means of getting around in Los Angeles, so you book a car rental. You arrive at LAX at about 5 p.m. local time. The beautiful dusk of the California Pacific coastline begins to set in, and so you're anxious to get to it, knowing that Manhattan Beach is only about 5 miles away from the airport. So you arrive at the car rental agency that was booked online, provided your name, credit card, signed some forms with the agent, and then?
It probably literally took us an hour and 15 minutes to get, be in our car and get on our way. An hour and 15 minutes. It was a very frustrating experience.
A frustrating experience. The time of an hour and 15 minutes to get into your rental car. And that is frustrating. That is a pretty bold statement. But if you visit a car rental website, you view their inventory, you view the availability and the price is competitive with other variants out in the market. You now are entering your personal information. You enter your credit card information because they want to charge your card immediately. And you finally show up to the rental agency and it still takes an hour and 15 minutes to get into your car and leave. So there's the ease of booking, but the pain of picking up.
Jim Decatur with dealercarrentals.com.
Jim Decatur is my guest for episode number 2 of the Wisco Weekly Podcast, and Jim and his business partner offer dealers and consumers a rental car program that applies digital retail solutions to existing resources.
from the customer's point of view, it's a good fit because they'll get more for less. As long as you're a member, you just sign them up, and then they can rent it, and you can. We're going to have promotional codes, and it depends on whether you're doing more hourly rentals. It depends on whether you're doing more long-term rentals, because the rates are going to be different. If somebody's going to rent a car for 3 weeks, the rate is a lot less than if somebody's going to rent it for 3 hours. For really not using much of your resources and not having, you don't have to hire people. It's already. They don't even have to see the customers. They just need to have the car ready for the next rental.
So Digital Retail Solutions, the concept of using technology to automate the transactions, and you can even call these micro moments. So to automate the micro moments and turn it into an experience. And so in Jim's particular case, it would be that when he arrived at the car rental agency, there is still technology involved that he's allowed to interact with that gets him closer to the end product, that being the car rental, and to do this all in a very timely manner. So the way he would make it work.
It's web-based or app-based. They can get on their computer. They can go do through their phone. It's a membership situation where they would go ahead and become a member. We ask a few questions that we have to ask.
Membership-based dealer car rental program, where instead of getting my rental at the airport and the rental company at the airport, I'm going to a dealership, which I presume I'm getting picked up at the airport to arrive at a dealership with a showroom, which is a far prettier sight than any car rental facility. And I'm using this technology, this platform, a user experience that is web-based and app-based for mobility and for adaptability. And then I am renting a car from a dealership's fleet of cars. Is that right?
Exactly. You start your rental, you get in, of course you check for damage and that sort of thing and make sure that everything's okay, and then you use it for the pre amount of time that you wanted to. Of course, you can extend it if you need to. When you come back, you park the car, you end the rental, the car locks, it's remotely done, and you're done. It's charged to your credit card. You don't have to see anybody. It's all remotely done.
Initially, when I contacted Jim to sit down and interview him for the show, I was more curious about what the car rental industry was going to look like, especially in light of the ride-sharing economy. Admittedly, I am pretty ignorant about the car rental industry. The industry last year posted about $28 billion in revenue, so it is big business. On the other hand, the car sharing economy has been growing pretty steadily. In 2015, it posted $1.1 billion in revenue, and in 2024, it's expected to grow to $6.5 billion, and this is according to Navigant Research. And as an offshoot of the ride-sharing economy, you are having even major players in the car rental business, in the car rental game, such like Hertz, which is instituting their own on-demand program similar to an Uber. And then also when you have a company like Turo, where you can essentially rent your own car through the app, I was pretty skeptical of what the car rental business, how do you incorporate that with the dealership world, and exactly what could amount to that partnership or that synergy or perhaps lack thereof. As we were talking, the conversation took a bit of a turn.
It's hard for one individual dealership to create and market for their dealership. What we're going to do is try to create like a McDonald's kind of a business model where we're going to have.
Look, I understand I may be a bit petty here, and I understand that I may be overthinking this, but
for
here,
their dealership,
hear it again.
What we're going to do is try to create like a McDonald's kind of
a
business model.
McDonald's-like business model. I have not heard of anyone wanting to compare themselves to McDonald's in quite a while. I mean, I like to probably go back to the 1980s. And when somebody, when a restaurant, for instance, was looking to try to build and scale, McDonald's was certainly the example they went after. And then you can take a look at a company like Subway, in which they were able to do exactly that and duplicate essentially what McDonald's was able to do. But in this day and age, when the standard to emulate with regards to the companies you want to emulate, they're usually in the tech space. So it's always the companies like Apple with the retail operation and how they've been able to innovate with a cleaner look, a more modern look, having the Genius Bar and having those types of service consultants. You know, a lot of companies, dealerships in particular, or even just the customer experience, wants to compare themselves against an Apple or even Amazon, of course. Amazon's very popular in terms of how they've been able to minimize friction to order something. So again, there's the aspiration to be like an Amazon. There's Netflix and their algorithm to deliver to you movies that are based on similar movies that you watched. And again, another kind of example of where companies want to aspire to get to that level of a company. And yet here is Jim talking about wanting to become another version of McDonald's. Now, if you recall from episode number one, venture capitalist Chase Fraser said,
"So the dealer of the future is going to be a really, really big service center."
The service center that a dealership will eventually evolve into will then comprise primarily of technical services, right? So these are things just, you know, the mechanical elements of a car, the electronics, the software. So that service will evolve, get better. But then you also have another element, and that's being the concierge or the amenities of a dealership. And you're starting to see this already with dealerships like Galpin Ford, where there's a Starbucks, right? I mean, that's a franchise operation, and that's inside of a dealership. You can start to go to Longo Toyota, and they also have a Starbucks. There's a Subway in there and other stores. I mean, for God's sakes, a dealership will eventually almost turn into this mini mall, right? Of all of a sudden you can buy products, and then, as Chase was saying, it becomes a little more service oriented, like the Apples, like, you know, a Genius Bar. And so now, going back to Jim's analogy of a car rental program that would be similar to a McDonald's, this caused me to rethink and reevaluate everything that I know about McDonald's. And so I put together a list. Here's my top five list of what I know McDonald's to be. Number one, McDonald's has been the ire of many animal rights groups for the way they treat animals. This was evident in the documentary Fast Food Nation. Number two on the list is from another documentary, Supersize Me, and how McDonald's is not exactly healthy, especially for prolonged periods of time. Number three on my list of what I know McDonald's to be, of course, Ronald McDonald. As a side note and as a personal note, my middle name is Ronald, and growing up, I was not the biggest advocate of sharing my middle name with everybody because it associated with the clown Ronald McDonald. Number four on my list is the commercial of Larry Bird and Michael Jordan. It started the whole from the bleachers, off the wall, off the backboard, nothing but net, right? And so, growing up in sports world and growing up in a basketball culture, this was always a funny reference to make with your friends. And the fifth thing on my list is a Big Mac is a Big Mac is a Big Mac. And this reminds me of my in-laws from the Czech Republic. Whenever they would come visit me and my wife, and they would bring their friends, and then we would go on road trips. Well, when my wife likes to plan out these trips, and when we have to make these stops, of course, they're European, so we're making smoking stops. So when we're making these stops, and they will smoke, and they will use the bathroom, and they will grab some food, she always wants to default to a place like McDonald's because it is familiar to them. And that familiarity that McDonald's has been able to build worldwide is definitely something to emulate and a very tall order, furthermore. But if a dealership is able to provide this McDonald's-like brand experience, and of course, looks, you know, at the end of the day, too, this is not a dealership's main line of business anyway, right? I mean, the car rental program or a Subway or any tertiary type program is an amenity. It's supplemental to the business. And so if a small portion of an operation is able to follow this McDonald's brand experience, then yeah, this very well would be an easy thing for a dealership to adapt. And of course, if they're making money, then even better, or at least if they're not losing money, even better.
From the customer's point of view, it's a good fit because they'll get more for less. The beauty of this program is that you can use it for travel, or you can use it for like on demand.
And so if you take this program and you apply some digital retail solutions to automate the micro moments, to minimize some of the human contact so the user can get to the end product as quickly and as frictionless as possible. And if you can build this program up to be universal in its experience and expectations, then yeah, why not be like McDonald's?
All right!
Listeners, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Wisco Weekly Podcast. If you want to hear the unedited interview I did with Jim, please visit our YouTube channel. And here's what you can expect for next week.
The fact of the matter is that it's very hard actually to sell cars. It's not as easy as you would think. You got to build a relationship, you got to build trust, but you also got to combine thousands of different data points to come up with the right proposal, the right offer, and the right storyline to interact with our customer.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you can get these episodes delivered to you weekly. And our featured band for this episode is Wake Up Lucid and their song Drunk on Information.
I say myself. My own.
Thank you.